boy's opinion. This chicken and beer is flowing here. Wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion. This chicken and beer is flowing here. Wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
Mean dark pair of shades, and you can't see my eyes unless my head is bent. You dig?
We fly, no lie, you know it's
swollen.
Before we rise outside, it's like showbiz.
We play fly, no lie, and you know it's
ballin'.
Lips and thighs, oh my.
Walking paper, I buy big cars. A-fly rides, it's the drive of my garage. Stay sky high, fly with the stars. G4 flights, 80 grand large. So we lean with it, pop with it. Vertical Jones, mean with the top missing. I'm sitting clean with the bottom kitted. I hopped out, saggy jeans and my rock glisten. But I spent about 8 grand, mommy on stage, doing the ring dance. She let it hit the floor, made it pop. Got my pedal to the floor, screaming, fuck the cops.
We fly, no lie, you know this.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span. This is episode number 60 of the BNC Shenanigans, man. And I'm here with the homeboy Cliff, a.k.a. DJ Neff. Say, damn it, DJ Neff. Say what's up to the people, fam.
You still drunk?
No, I'm not drunk at all. I'm not drunk at all.
I thought that's why you played this song.
No, you know damn well why I played this song. And they... We gonna talk about it here in a minute, man. We gonna talk about it. But go ahead, we gonna do this some more.
Flashbacks to last night of me balling out. 1 a.m. we was at the club. 2 a.m. 10 bottles above. And by 3 sun I was thinking about grub. So I stumbled to the car, do the drinks and the drugs.
Twisted. We fly high, no lie, you know this.
Hey, Cliff, man, sound like on that verse there, he was describing your night. Oh, man, let's cut this shit off, man. But yeah, man.
First of all, so everybody can be filled in on the shenanigans right now. Okay. Yesterday,
I love fucking with
my wife graduated with her doctoral degree in public health.
Congratulations to her, man. For real,
Big deal, man. You know, I'm proud. Could be more proud.
Dr. Bailey in the house, bro.
We got 4 doctors in the family right now.
Bowling! No.
But,
Shit. That nigga say 4 doctors. Oh, shit. I couldn't hear that. What the fuck, man?
Oh, good. Good. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear smoking.
Mm-hmm. You heard him, goddammit. I just trying to figure out why the hell he ain't playing the way he's supposed to. But go ahead, continue with the story.
But I did a surprise party. Invited all her friends, family, got DJ, a photographer to follow her around at the party. Like, everything was a surprise, man. And also, one of my guys who I hoop with is an artist, and I sent him a picture of her mom. Her mom passed of cancer a few years back, and he put it on canvas. He drew it on canvas, and I revealed that at the party, and it was,
man, nigga, yeah. That's dope. That's dope. Not even gonna let that ain't even no joke, my nigga. That's fucking dope, man. You know, like this nigga about to go in the Husband Hall of Fame and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what's up, my nigga.
We turned up hard, man. We stayed in matter of fact, next time we come to the crib, man, the hotel we stayed at was this boutique joint.
Uh-huh.
And like in the middle, on the 6th floor, they got like this. It's like a bar, but you don't see the bar. You just tell them what you want, and they just constantly serve you. It's some player stuff, man.
That's what
we didn't get it. We didn't get back to the room at like 4:30, and I just got home like an hour and a half ago, man. So
I'm tired. He got on. He looked every bit tired. I'm like, damn, man, are you good? I'm a grown ass man. Yada yada yada. Like I'm just saying, nigga, I'm looking out for you. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking out. And not only that, though, we feel obligated because we haven't been on in a couple weeks. You know what I'm saying? Right. Life getting in the way, real talk, man, of a lot of shit, man. Like, so we get on when we can, when we do this, man, but we try to have fun when we do it. And, you know, we always do. We really do kind of like just, we talk shit to one another. This is kind of how we roll, man. And y'all been along with the ride with us for like 2 years almost now. Dig that. Amazing. Dig that. Right? So, yeah, before we get in the whole show, man, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, those messages will get read here live on the show and responded to in kind. You can also email us here, feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails, and of course, those emails will get read here live on the show as well. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span, and you can follow the homeboy DJ Neff where?
DJ Neff Music on Twitter and Grizzam.
Indeed, man. Indeed. So go ahead and follow that nigga, mostly on Instagram. You hardly ever see this nigga on Twitter, but go ahead and follow that nigga on Instagram. This nigga don't be on Twitter,
man. Seriously, I am not a social media dude. Only reason I have Facebook is because my sister created my Facebook page. Like,
I believe it because that nigga don't be on there either, but the gram is his spot, so go ahead and follow that nigga on the gram.
It's easy. You be like, you take a picture, you be like, that's your club, and then you keep moving, you know what I'm saying?
Oh man, that nigga be on the gram heavy. He be sending me shit a lot of times. I'll be like, man, the thing that be funny to me though, he'll send me some shit on the gram and it'd be from like a private account and shit, and I'd be looking at like, I can't even see this shit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. if I ain't following him, I don't get to see it. So like, when you'll send it to me and I just be looking at it like, it must have been funny.
I didn't know that, man. I'm glad you said that. I'm going to just start screenshotting stuff.
Yeah, like, it had to be funny because this nigga sent it. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man, follow him on Twitter and Instagram, man. Also, man, hit up our website, www.beerandchickenpod.com and www.thespanreport.com. Go there. You can watch replays of the show, vote in the polls when we put one up. You can listen to the show directly from the website, man, on your phone. You don't even got to download an app. The website is the app. You can download everything Span Report Podcast Network related right there on the app, man. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, iHeart Radio, fucking Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Crowdcast, CastBox, all of them. We all over the place except SoundCloud because, you know, SoundCloud ain't really for podcasts, but I'm just saying. also, man, hit us up with the 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, though. The 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show and responded to right here on the show, man. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. Doesn't take you any money, doesn't cost you any money. Just a couple minutes of your time to let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. And yeah, let's get right into the shit, man. Because you had, not only was that going on, you had some other grievances that you wanted to get off your chest, brother. Go ahead and put them out there.
So I need a new phone. Bad. Bad. I need a new phone.
That look like a Note 8. Is that the Note? Yeah, that's Note 8. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, Note 8. And you know, my phone is where I work, and I need a phone. And I go to Verizon. I'm going to make this quick so we can get into the sports. And I want the new Note.
I got
Note.
Shit I
want
to bitch about, too, nigga. I mean... I said, I got shit I want to bitch about too, my nigga. Oh, go ahead.
How you Verizon Wireless ain't got no Note 10?
Whoa.
I'm like,
hold on, that deserves a like, not Verizon. This nigga been talking cash shit about Verizon for about a good 10-15 years now. He finally found some shit to bitch about with Verizon. So this is an epic event right now.
This is an epic event.
This is epic, my nigga.
Well, all I know is I got to go to another store tomorrow and get my phone. When they said they had that, you can go over here. I'm just like, you know what? I'm about to go home because I'm still feeling last night. So And then he hit me with the, well, you know, you can order online. No, I want it right now. Now.
That instant gratification, goddammit.
Instant. Yeah. I got money. I want to spend it. Take my money. Take my money. Oh, and to everybody, I went to Detroit a couple weeks ago and stayed with Twan, and he has the house of the future. They don't turn on any switches.
I do not.
They don't grab remote controls. His dog bit me twice. And
hey, you know, Keisha is a good fucking, like, she has a good, well, she's a good protector, but she has a good gauge of character too, man. You know, Keisha was like, I don't know, man. Something in the milk ain't clean with this nigga here, bro. I don't know.
I sit on the couch, and this, first of all, she bit me upon walking in the house on my shoe. And then, you know, take my shoes off, and, you know, she run around. So we sitting in the living room. I sit on the couch. She comes right underneath me, and she sits right on my leg, and she's just looking up at me. And I'm like, oh, you know, we must be cool. So let me just, you know, keep on talking. And the second, which was about 40 seconds later, I moved my leg slightly. She was like, sit your ass. Right off a big toe. Right off a big toe. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, Keisha wasn't feeling Cliff, man. I don't know what it was, really. I really don't. But you know what, though? She's real funny. She's funny style like that because she did my daughter the same way. Like, when my daughter would come by. Like, yeah. But the thing is, she'll warm up to Kimaya, right? Like, Kimaya come in, and, like, you know, when she first comes in, Keisha's real aggressive and shit. Then Kimaya sit down, and then, like, Keisha's, like, her best motherfucking friend. They sit up and watch, like, what's the show that she be watching now? Grey's Anatomy. My daughter's really into Grey's Anatomy right now. So they'll sit up and just watch Grey's Anatomy all night if I let them. So, that's what it is.
Because of you, the next day I came back, I bought the complete Google Home system because of me.
You did it because you wanted to. You ain't do it because of me.
Oh, I did because of you, because I seen it live action. We walked in the house. Hey, Google, turn on this, turn on that, do this, do that. Clip my toenails. And then second, like, no problem, sir. And here's what's funny. Check out the TikTok. Yeah, see, look, I'm just doing it right now. My son, my youngest.
Yeah.
My nightstands in the bedrooms, you know, I put the light bulbs in there.
Yeah.
I be coming in the bedroom sometimes.
He in there and playing,
like,
with the lights.
One light be like lime green, the other light be like red, one light be brightest. He be like, yeah, turn one light green at 17% and turn the other one red at 65%.
Hey, man, he in there setting the ambiance, man, to play with the fucking... he got to have, like, the perfect fucking lighting for when the Transformers is battling with the Decepticons, man. Like, he got to be right, man. You know what I mean? They coming from Cybertron, TV. Man. It's like a comic coming in from Cybertron. It gotta be right.
This just happened about an hour ago. Come in the house. I'm straightening up in the kitchen, and I got some Marvin Gaye playing. And the next thing I know, it cuts off, and this, like, kids bop song comes on. Mm. He upstairs. He in the living room. And you know how you can have each speaker play different music?
Yeah.
He had it run through the whole house.
Yeah.
His song. He come in the kitchen like that. You hear my song playing? I'm like,
oh, man.
Thank you, big uncle.
Hey, man, you know, they truthfully, man, like, this is the shit I used to dream about as a kid. So the fact that he got this shit as young as he do, like, you lucky, you little lucky motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? I used to dream about this shit, watching Star Trek or whatever. Now it's here, dog. Now, you know, it's funny now because, like, people be talking about, like, you know, the security, you know, like, the privacy and shit. Like, you know, because, like, some of those Google Home, like, the Google, well, it's like the Nest Home Hub has cameras on them. I don't have those. You know what I'm saying? I just got the straight up Google Homes or whatnot. Although... Google did give your boy $100 off anything in the Google store because I got that Pixel 4.
Let me tell you something. Mm. The Nest Hub, the one that I have.
Yeah.
Is it $100? Oh, it has to be on the Google store?
Yeah, this is on anything out of the Google store, I got $100 off. So what I ended up getting was a Ring. See, I got the Ring doorbells, but we're moving. So I don't know if I'm going to keep those. So I ended up like getting the Google Home, not the Google Home. It's the Google Nest, not the Max, but the smaller one. And it came with the Nest doorbell, the Nest Hello doorbell. Got that shit for $129, both of them. So yeah, that's man, you know. Huh?
You got it for $29.
No, I got it for $129 because
I thought you had 100 off.
I did, but see, the thing is, they gave me one free, and then the thing itself was like, wait, I'm sorry. It was $100 off because that doorbell itself is $229. Yeah, and then they threw in the Nest Hub, they threw that in there, so I got $100 off. So it was $129 for everything.
I was going to say, at Home Depot right now, they got the Nest Hub. I'm mad as hell. I just paid one. Just for the display itself, I paid $179. It's at Home Depot for $80 right now.
Yeah, man. They got you. They got you. But it's, lessons learned. I said I had something that I wanted to bitch about. Oh, yeah, man. So check it out. I was kind of talking about this on Facebook yesterday, man. Somebody hacked my motherfucker Hulu, bruh. Somebody hacked my Hulu account, man. So check this out. Ashley was in the bedroom watching Hulu. And then she yells out to me. She's like, yo, did you give out the Hulu password to somebody? I'm like, hell no. So she like, it's like two different names up here. It's like two additional profiles made on my Hulu shit, right? So I get on there and I'm like trying to figure out, okay, so I see these two names. I don't recognize either one of them. And then I go to like change the password because I figure somebody got a hold of the password. I need to change it. So I hit the like, you know, the change the password thing, and I wasn't getting them in my emails. Like they'll send you a link, you know what I'm saying? Like to change the password, they'll send it to your email. I wasn't getting them. So what I ended up having to do was sign in through Facebook in order to get access to my Hulu, only to find out that whoever got access to my shit changed the primary email account for the account holder. So it had my name up there, but it had some totally different ass email account up there. Yeah. But they left my fucking credit card shit on there the whole night. So basically, they was going to keep watching this free ass Hulu with no commercials or whatever, but I was going to continue to pay for it. So I ended up having to go through the little chat bot or whatever, and I hate using the chat, man. I would much rather talk to a real fucking person. They always want to give you that bot shit, and then even after you get past the bot, they still want to chat with you via text. Like, no, man, get on the fucking phone. I want to talk to somebody, right? But eventually, I had to get it to where like I can delete those two accounts and then have to change the fucking password to that. I'm so tired of changing passwords, bro. Like for real. Like at work, they make us change our passwords every 90 days. And I'm like, yo, I'm not on a computer this often at the job. Like I got it. It would be more feasible if I was an office employee, right? I'm out in the field, bro. Only time I really go in there to check anything is to check to see if my check is right. Like if I'm looking at my check stuff, make sure my money is right. Other than that, I don't give a fuck about that computer at work. But they make you do that, man. And it's like, man, I want to make it to where it's something that I can remember. That's complicated right for another motherfucker, but I got to be able to remember this shit too. You know what I'm saying? And it's like all these changing the passwords and like, well, you know, Google will save your password. Yeah, but then what if I got to change it because I don't remember that? Well, like sometimes Google will save something and it ain't the same password no more. So now I got to figure out what the fuck that is. It's a whole bunch of shit, man. I'm just sick and tired. That's what I was bitching about, passwords. And then on top of that, man, I went shooting yesterday.
I know.
I went shooting, man. The shit felt good. Oh, man, it felt good. Cause it's been a while for your boy, man. I was like kind of out of sorts. Don't really know why. You know what I'm saying? Like just not really feeling like myself. And Ashley was like, maybe you should go to the range. You kind of grumpy and shit. You know, like nigga, get the fuck out of the house. Do something. But just get the hell out of my face. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, that range might be the business. And I went, man. I put about 400 rounds down range, man. It was good, man. It was good. I need to get reacquainted with my 40. You know, my shit with my 40 was kind of all over the place. But once I put that AR up there, man, shit started tightening up real quick, baby. Start tightening up real fast, man. But it felt good, man. It had been a while for your boy. So I know we've been like kind of musing about a bunch of shit that ain't got nothing to do with sports, but we about to get to these sports shits now, man. It's been a while. Now, the first thing we need to cover, though, because it's been a couple weeks, is fantasy football shit, man. So, I know, like, for those of you who are not watching live, right now, Cliff is not really impressed with the fact that we have to talk about this fantasy football. And I can understand why. You know, I can understand why when you're bringing up the rear. See, we used to have in the span, before when I had like the Span Fantasy Football League, I used to have this thing for the very last place player. It's called the Dookie Cup. And it was basically a toilet bowl award, you know what I'm saying? Because you were shit, you know, for the year. And Cliff would have been eligible for that award if it were still a thing. But it's not a thing anymore. So you just, you know.
So you don't have to bring it up.
No, what I'm saying is if next season's draft was based on placement in this year's, like on standings from this year, you would get the number one pick, bro.
I hear you.
You would get the number one pick. So the final standings for the regular season in our football league, Team Tate took the number one spot in the East with a 9-4 record. Panic at the Nabisco took 8-5. They were second, and they were the ones who kicked me out of the playoffs. I mean, Span didn't make the playoffs either, man.
Word.
Yeah, man. Stephanie beat my ass twice this year. So even if she'd have lost on the last week, she'd have won. Because of, she basically was going to get that last playoff spot anyway because she had the tiebreaker for beating my ass twice. So Panic at the Nabisco was 8-5. I came in third in the East at 7-6. The Miami Swipers were also 7-6. And then the homeboy Goose, who talked cash shit at the beginning of the year, was 3-10. Over in the West, we had a team name to be determined. Also finished out the top at a 9-4 record. The Bad News Bears had an 8-5 record. The Godzilla Dogs had a 7-6 record. So me and your aunt, I believe, had the same record at 7-6. Harvin's Hitmen finished 5-8, and then we got the homeboy Cliff at 2-11. One of his wins was against me, though. So, I mean, you know, I picked a fine time to lose, you know what I'm saying? I picked a fine time to start losing games, bro, for real.
I could have been the reason why you really didn't go to the playoffs.
Okay, I mean, you could take that to, you know, you could sleep on that. You know what I'm saying? If that helps you sleep at night, my nigga, I mean, I'll let you have that, you know what I'm saying? But right now, we do have playoff games going on. And from the looks of it, the number four seed, the Bad News Bears, are beating the number one seed 302.4 to 252.5. Now, I don't know what's going on with the scoring for these playoffs, but nigga, these scores are fucking huge.
Wow.
Right? So,
Look at McCaffrey got 37.
Yeah, like I'm wondering if like the scoring for these like is changed, cuz I didn't adjust any of this shit. So I'm just kind of wondering if they're doing something different for the playoff games or whatever, because it's the end of the season and a lot of starters aren't really playing. You know what I mean? So I'm wondering if they did something to kind of like elevate the, the point totals for the playoffs. But right now, Bad News Bears are beating Team Tate 302.4 to 252.5. And it looks like the Bad News Bears may be going to the championship game. And right now it's looking like they might be playing against team name to be determined, who's winning against Panic at the Nabisco 222.2 to 197.1. So that one's a little bit more close than the other game, but as it stands right now, it looks like team name to be determined and the Bad News Bears are going to be playing for the first ever Beer and Chicken Podcast Championship. So Cliff might be out here buying rings and championship belts and shit. Who knows, man? I sent them the link to that website, man. Like, hey, man, go ahead and get ready. You owe somebody some. Real talk, man. But that was it. That was with the fantasy football recap, man. I really do want to just kind of shout out everybody that played this year, man. I know we weren't playing for the monies or whatnot, man. It was really just bragging rights and the trophy or the belt or the ring, whatever y'all get. But mostly it was for bragging rights, man. And it's fun just kind of like interacting with the fans in that way, man. Real talk. But yo, man, sports, news, what you got for us tonight, homie?
So, I'm really into baseball. I love baseball. humongous contracts last week. Mm. Humongous contracts last week. One in particular. I am definitely an advocate of investing in your own business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees are renowned for dishing out the bread. This comes from ESPN.com. And the title says, "What risk with Gerrit Cole, the Yankees are now the team to beat." I'm going to just read some of this real quick. Just scoop this up. My young Mac here. It says, the most straightforward way to consider the Yankees' landmark signing of free agent ace Gerrit Cole is this: New York has baseball's best pitcher, and the Houston Astros do not. And if y'all don't know, he was pivotal with Houston winning the World Series. And
wait, Houston didn't win shit.
I mean, not Houston. I'm sorry. They went.
Yeah.
They went,
okay. But like, okay.
He was pivotal with them going.
Yeah. I mean, okay. That shit threw me for a second. Like, wait a second.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's not what I meant to say.
Yeah.
But when he pitched, his error is so low, it's crazy, and he does well. The rest of it says when you consider what the Yankees' inability to translate regular season dominance into a pennant over the past 3 years is largely a product of running into the Astros in October. That simple observation tells you why Brian Cashman and the Brenners were willing to go in with Cole with a 9-year, $324 million contract that is the richest ever given to a pitcher. Of course, there is risk. Even for the Yankees, in a luxury tax world, one that will change when the next collective bargaining agreement is eventually figured out, $324 million is a hell of a lot of money. And Cole is a pitcher, and a word by himself almost serves as cautionary tale. But in this case, the risk was worth taking. I totally agree. The thing is, there has been, over the years, there's more risk on paying pitchers because they get more shoulder injuries, more arm injuries than any other baseball player, to tell you the truth, because, of course, they're throwing the ball more than anybody. And most guys that get contracts like this, you know, A-Rod, Ryan, what was it, Ryan Jones, I mean, $200-$300 million. What's the dude on Miami? I'm looking at him. Okay, I'm looking at him, but I'm missing his name. He got $330 million. He's a shortstop, but
it's a lot of money, man.
That's a lot of bread.
That's a lot of money.
But for a pitcher, you know, that's why the subject of this says what risk. Everybody's like, oh my God, they're giving a pitcher $324 million and a 9-year contract. I mean, honestly, he's gonna pitch the next 4 years. Those last five, he's going to be, you know, off and on. But that's a lot of bread. I am, of course, as long as we've been doing the Beer and Chicken podcast, I'm an advocate of players getting paid, but earning it.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, people don't be winning, and they don't put up no numbers, but they pay them. And I hate it. This dude definitely takes the cake. And you know what? The Yankees, in here specifically, they said that their inability to translate regular season dominance into a pennant. The Yankees had the best record in the entire MLB.
Mm-hmm.
They had the best record. I mean, they were destroying people, man. And one of the teams that they couldn't get, I'm not going to say couldn't get past, but they did not do well with because they had a great bullpen, was Houston. And what's the chances this dude, you know, he's one of the reasons why they went to the World Series. But when they faced him, you can forget about it. They didn't win.
Yeah.
And then they go and get him once the season's over with, and they threw the biggest dollar that's probably – I don't think there was anybody – well, the Yankees have the biggest payroll in the world, Craig. Earl, Craig. But yeah, 324 million, crazy, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a crazy amount of money. As a matter of fact, I was just playing the motherfucking Mega Millions a couple weeks ago. Oh shit, a few days ago, man. I think it was like 320 some odd million dollars. I'm like, you know what, man? After being in that man's house a couple weeks ago with the damn wine cellar that was bigger than my goddamn living room, dining room, and kitchen combined, I felt like, yo, man, I should have some of that too. You know what I'm saying? So, I went out and I got me a lottery ticket. Didn't win. You know what I'm saying? Nobody else did either. So, I mean, I don't feel that bad about it. It's up to $370 million. Your boy going to play again. Your boy going to play again. But
Powerball Mega.
Mega Millions is at $370 million right now. So, this is the time to play. This is the time.
We going to get this.
This is the time to play right here. This nigga started speaking French all of a sudden. But here's the one thing, though, man. And I think we've seen, though, like as much as we talk about how the Yankees spend so much money on their roster and that they have the biggest payroll in sports in the world, that what we've seen lately as far as, like, especially with Major League Baseball, is that spending the most money doesn't guarantee you going to win the whole, like, doesn't guarantee you shit. And we've seen, mid-market teams kind of have a lot of success spending so much money, but just, like, cultivating talent and bringing that talent along in a methodical way. And, you know, using their draft picks in a way to, like, acquire talent to not only just, like, draft the right guys, but also trade those picks away to bring in assets. And it's been a way for a lot of these mid-market teams to kind of compete against a team like the Yankees, who are out here spending a shitload of bread, or the Boston Red Sox, who are out here spending a shitload of bread. Like, we always know that those teams are going to be contenders. Like, they always are. Like, the Yankees won a shitload of games. They didn't win the whole shit, though. And I believe, like, this is the decade, and I think they said this at the end of the World Series. I think, like, the Yankees, this is like the one decade in, like, however many years where, like, the Yankees didn't even play for the World Series. Like, they didn't even play in a World Series for, like, the last 10 years or so. They've been spending all of this money. And I think, like, for instance, as a White Sox fan, I get frustrated because it was a couple months ago, when we were talking about how Steinbrenner was talking about not necessarily spending the money to get the players that you need to become a contender, just basically just kind of, you know, hovering around that, well, they might compete, but nah, we're not going to go ahead. And when you see a team like the Yankees just going out there every fucking year, going to get it, like, he's like, yo, man, like, the Yankees, the reason why they're able to do that is because, one, the people, the fans in New York believe that the Yankees, or they not even believe, they expect the Yankees to be a goddamn contender every fucking year. You know what I'm saying? Like, they expect that shit. So if you're giving the New York fans, and if you're giving them anything less than the expectation of being in the World Series, they call you a fucking bum. And you're like, truthfully, I kind of wish we would be like that in Chicago to a large degree when it comes to our teams, man. Because, like, we got ownership where, like, they're not really trying to spend that sort of bread to bring in the talent that's needed to win championships. And I'm envious of the Yankees for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they go out there every year, despite the fact that they're not guaranteed to win a damn thing. I like the fact that they will go out there, spend the money to go get the guys who they think is going to help them win a World Series. And it shows in the amount of fucking world championships that they have in New York, man. So I just kind of wish that some of those Chicago, especially the White Sox and the Bulls, I kind of wish they would take on those fucking, that kind of mindset. They're like, yo, go out here and spend the money. The people going to be behind you. They going to spend the money because they want a winner, and everybody loves a winner. I just kind of going a little bit off topic, like, just saw that the Bulls had like 14,000 people paid at the United Center, but they had like less than 10,000 people show up at a Bulls game. That's fucking bananas. That's bananas, bro. Like, they used to always sell them fucking games out. So it's getting to a point where, like, people are getting like, they like, yo, man, this some bullshit, man. This some bullshit. And so, like, to hear that the Yankees are spending money, I'm not surprised. But at the same time, I just kind of want to get that caveat that although they're spending the money, it doesn't guarantee the chip. And we keep seeing that with the Yankees. Of course, we've seen that over and over again with the Yankees over the past decade. But you still want your team to go out there and try to win. I think the Yankees are really good for that. They go out there and they fucking try to win.
Well, they got a whole all-star lineup, so it don't take much when you got a whole bunch of players that's all killers, you know. But seriously, man, seriously, you know, when I think of the Yankees, like I had an argument with this dude one time, and he was like, "Man, the Yankees be cheating because they get all the good players."
Yeah,
I'm like, how are they cheating? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. Mm. They're paying them to play for them. They're not cheating. They just have the ability to pay for them, like, for real. And I agree with you. Like, you don't need to pay for players to win championships. I mean, look at Baltimore Ravens. I saw a meme on Jackson.
Yeah.
Where I didn't know he was a sixth rounder.
Yeah, man. He sat in that green room for quite a while.
Yeah.
Quite a while. And I remember him being like a dog-ass dude in Louisville. You know what I'm saying? When he was in Louisville, the dude was killing there. But there's this thing, and I think, you know, it kind of goes back to the whole thing with, like, say, for instance, remember, like, Michael Vick. As good as Michael Vick was, you know, we had the whole stigma about black quarterbacks just being able to run. That they couldn't be a pocket quarterback. That they couldn't, like, go through their progressions, read the field and whatnot, and make the proper football play. And I think Jackson was—he fell victim to that because you saw a lot of spectacular plays of Jackson when he was with the Louisville Cardinals, and he fell. A lot of teams passed him. The Lions passed on him.
Your face.
So,
but you know what, though? Look what history has proved. Mm. Your point exactly. Jackson, sixth rounder. Tom Brady, last pick in the draft. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, but in situations like, you know, where players are getting $324 million, my point tonight is well-deserved. That's all I'm saying. Well-deserved.
Yeah, man, get your money. I'm all about the players getting their money, man, real talk. Speaking of getting money, Carmelo Anthony. I kind of wanted to come talk about Carmelo Anthony this week, man. It's been a while since we've been on, man. We haven't had a chance to discuss it. But, yo, man, I've seen folks on the social media street saying, yo, man, y'all wrote off Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony out here balling. Like, what y'all got to say now? And I will be the first to admit, shout out to the homeboy Walt, because Walt used to be on here and talk a gang of shit. Walt was his biggest motherfucking supporter. He's talking about, you ain't Carmelo still got it. You know, I want to see Carmelo do this, that, and the third. And I'm just like, man, this nigga washed. like Carmelo washed, bro. Like, I will be the first one to say, yeah, y'all heard me on this mic saying Carmelo washed. It's done. It's a wrap for Carmelo.
Yeah. I said the same thing.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know if I'm ready to come off of that yet.
Yo, that's funny.
I don't know if I'm ready to come off of that yet. And the reason I say that is this, man. I think, like, because we're in the social media age, man, and everything is like instant gratification, this, that, and the third, man. Like, Carmelo Anthony had a couple good games with the Portland Trail Blazers, who signed him, and they actually did. Like, at first, his contract wasn't guaranteed. He's earned a fully guaranteed contract for the rest of the season. Kudos to Carmelo Anthony for that, right? However, the reason why I say I don't necessarily know if I'm ready to come off of that yet is that I feel like the sample size is too small. I feel like he hasn't played enough games in order for me to just be like, nah, Carmelo back. Now, I can appreciate that there was a team in the NBA that felt like Carmelo Anthony deserved a shot because of what he's accomplished in the league and the type of player that he's, like, the numbers that he's still capable of putting up. But I did a little looking around, of course, you know, because this is what we kind of do. We talk about these sorts of things on the show here. And, like, I looked at the Portland Trail Blazers record since Carmelo Anthony has been playing with them. Now, he's played with them 12 games. That's why I said it's a short sample size. He's played with them 12 games. And in those 12 games, you know what their record is? Just take a look, like, a while.
7-5.
Flip that bitch. 5-7. They a sub-500 team with Carmelo Anthony. Right? And also, Carmelo Anthony is putting up about 16 a game. about 5 rebounds, 1.7 assist. One good thing, though, he's shooting about 39% from three. Shooting 41% overall, 39% from three. 39% from three is a pretty good clip. 41% from the field, not so much. I don't know if I'm ready to come off the, you know, Carmelo Anthony. I don't know if I would say he's washed, but I don't also know if I'm ready to, like, yo, just say Carmelo back yet either, man. In the way in which I've been seeing motherfuckers talk about Carmelo being on the Portland Trailblazers and what he's been able to do, I like what he's been able to do, but at the same time, yo, man, y'all got to pump y'all brakes, man. I think y'all expectations are a bit high when y'all start talking about Carmelo back.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Portland ain't about to win no ring this year.
Mm-hmm.
They lost.
I think they were a much better team last year.
Yeah, they lost Evan Turner. They lost two players. All that to say, when it comes to Carmelo, I don't think they brought him to the team. And this may sound kind of stupid, but to win, there was a lot of hype behind him still having it, mm-hmm, and being able to play at that level, right? At, mm-hmm, that level. And guess what? I'm sure their ticket sales showed that, because people want to see Carmelo. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been on the gram. He's been, you know, going to all these spots, playing ball with you know, current players in the NBA. And I know we had spoke on Carmelo before, and if he was able to keep up, see, my thing was, is he going to be able to keep up with these young boys? Dallas has always been, Carmelo can shoot. We know he can score. I still say he's a defensive liability. He's always
definitely been a defensive liability. That's been his whole career.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the whole thing around Carmelo for me is bringing him on a team. It brings a positive energy, and people want to see him, and people want to just, when somebody, you know, the thing is, when somebody wants to see you do good, it creates like this, yeah, tidal wave.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So everybody wanted to see Carmelo. Huh?
That's what it was.
Yeah, that's all, yeah, it is. And to your point, I'm not saying that he's done, because I think he still has some gas in the tank. He's just not going to be an all-star. He's not going to be the guy who's going to come on the team and be the difference maker between going to the playoffs and going to the Western Conference Championship. It's not happening. That's not going to be his role.
You know what, though? I don't know if this is fair or not, but I do think that, like, part of the reason why, and again, I don't know if I'm being fair here.
Uh-huh.
But I think part of the reason why I judge Carmelo Anthony so harshly is because he came into the league the same time LeBron James did. And to see, like, the level, like, the skill level and the ability of Carmelo fall so far from what he used to be able to produce, and to see LeBron still considered one of the top three players in the NBA at this juncture in his career, I think to some degree may be coloring how I view Carmelo Anthony as a player, because they, like, when they both came into the league, they were seen as the top two players in that draft. And the Pistons had an opportunity to draft Carmelo Anthony with the number two pick, and they got Darko Milicic for whatever the fuck reason that was. And he ended up going to Denver. But, like, I think to some degree, and I'm admitting to this, I don't know if I'm being all the way fair when it comes to Carmelo, because of the fact that he came into the league with LeBron, and we see what LeBron is doing in LA. We saw what he's been doing, you know, like, this late in his career, LeBron James is still considered one of the top three guys in the league. And for Carmelo to be so far, like, down on the ability level at this point is like, ah, shit, man.
Apples and oranges.
No, I'm not being fair. I know this.
Oh, okay.
I believe my observation of this is colored, because I believe that he should still be of something comparable to where LeBron is, considering how long they've both been in the league. And to see LeBron still here, and Carmelo went from here to barely in the fucking league. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just kind of look at them like, damn, man, like, he done fell all the way out. And I think that's why I'm so hard on Carmelo, because I remember what he used to be. And I think that's part of the reason why I'm like so hard on him now.
You like that old Carmelo.
I liked old Carmelo. I really did. And I'm just like, yo, now I see him, I'm just like, man, like, what the fuck, bro? And then you see LeBron out here doing the same shit he been doing for the last, when did he get drafted? 03, 04? Like, come on, bro. 16, 17 years. Like, damn, man. But I also feel like, at the same time, like, man, that's kind of unrealistic, because we've never seen nobody do it this long. That, like, with LeBron James, we've never seen anybody kind of keep this level of play up this long, man. And it's part of the reason why I think a lot of people consider him the GOAT. I would disagree, but, you know, that's a whole other topic for another day. And we've had that discussion here on the show quite a bit. But, yo, man, here's a story I kind of want to talk about, too. I'm not a big UFC fan, man. I don't really watch UFC, man. But apparently, there was a big UFC fight last night. Covington versus, what's my man's name here? Let me make sure I pull this up. Usman versus Covington. Did you catch that at all, Cliff? I know you kind of into the fight game and whatnot.
I was drinking.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot. Bowling! But so apparently, Usman beat the brakes off of Covington last night, man. And this had some legs on social media, because apparently this Covington dude is a really big Donald Trump fan. And he came to the fight wearing a MAGA hat with a red suit. And he also had another hat in his hand that said "Keep America Great" in his hand, like, leading up to the fight. And there was also, like, I think, who was that? Usman had did an interview with Joe Rogan on the Joe Rogan podcast. And he pretty much talked about Covington being, like, very entitled, saying he should have this, like, this level of notoriety, and that he should have the UFC championship because he's earned it and he's an American, this, that, and the other. And he said, like, yo, bro, we're all American. And when I get my hands on that guy, I'm going to have, like, the wrath of all the, like, immigrants who ever stepped foot in America. Like, and he broke this dude's jaw, bro. He broke Covington's jaw. He won by TKO. Yeah. He won by TKO last night, right? I was trying to find a video. It was, like, real short notice as we were trying to put everything together tonight. But, like, I was trying to find a video of when he broke his jaw. Like, there was, like, slow motion video of him clocking the fuck out of Covington, man. I kind of feel like this. Like, you know how I am with the politics and shit. I don't give a good goddamn about UFC because of the people who promote UFC, and I also know them to be Trump supporters too. But it was kind of sweet to see a brother. Kind of sweet, man, to see a brother beat the motherfucking bricks off a Trump supporter, man. Like, it was funny too, right? Because there was a whole bunch of Trump supporters in the crowd and shit, and they was really rooting Covington on until he was really getting his ass whooped, and then it was like a hush that came over the whole fucking crowd when they knew he was about to lose. Because they called, like, the referee jumped in, like, he got knocked down 3 times in one round. Is that it? Yep, that's it. Yep, broke his jaw right there. Bam.
Crazy.
Broke his shit. Oh, man. But that's really all I had on that, man. Like, the wrath of the ancestors came through, bro. The wrath of the ancestors, man. That nigga hit him with the strength of the Black Panther. Like, for real.
Yo, somebody on Twitter said his wife will be spending time in the kitchen making mashed potatoes.
Hey, man, we call them savory. I call that shit savory ice cream around here, bro. Oh, no, man.
Basically,
he ain't gonna be able to chew a goddamn thing for a while. Hold on, here's the other thing too, right? Somebody made a video. Goddamn. I wish I could pull this up on my computer right now, but somebody made a video, man. Shout out to this brother. Somebody made, like, a video, and they had Covington in his corner talking to his trainer, and he told his trainer, "I think he broke my jaw."
For real?
Yeah, man. He was like, I think my jaw is broke, man. I think he broke my jaw. And this was in the third round. He still had to go out there another two rounds to fight with that broken jaw. So every time Usman hit him, like he hit him in the, every time hit him in the face, man, he was like, he was ready to go down, bro. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. The ancestors spoke on that one. The ancestors spoke, man. The strength of the Black Panther will not
give
be
it a strength. Three.
Will not be snipped away. All I know is, like, as a nigga that don't watch UFC, that was beautiful. That was beautiful, man. I like to see that. Racist and Trump supporters getting their ass whooped. I love it, man. I love it. They need to see more. I need to see that kind of shit. I might start watching UFC now. All right, real talk. That's all I needed right there. Like, hold on now. Like, Trump supporters get them hands put on them? Wait a minute. Like, they.
Somebody put.
I told you, man, on social media, man, this has been like
they
trending.
They
going hard, bro, because Covington, he been out there with the make him. He been trolling people with the MAGA shit, man. He been trolling people with that MAGA shit. And. Wow. I'm not even a UFC fan. I don't know who none of these niggas is, man. All I know is the black dude was like, yo, man, all I know is when I get hands on him, I'm putting all the strength behind all the immigrants he ever had anything to say about. For real. And then he carried it out, man. He carried it out. Knocked that motherfucker smooth out, bruh. Smooth out. For real. So that's in the news, what? Man. I kind of wanted to talk about that. I did, man. Well, you got any thoughts on that at all, Cliff?
I mean, listen, I, of course, I didn't know about the fight. But yeah. Now that I'm looking at all this stuff that's on the internet, I mean, like you said, there was a lot of he taunted this Republican stance, like really heavy, really heavy, really heavy. And a lot of people on here, of course, you know, in sports, you know, there is no line. You know, you got freedom of speech and all that stuff. But I mean, this dude, did you see his eye?
Yeah.
I mean, he got whooped. And no. He is, and I love my old Martin saying, he got zipped. For real. Yo.
Make my jaw great.
Yo. They going so hard.
Put that on a hat. We need to put that on a shirt or something, man.
I'm going to screenshot this. And
put that on the shirt, man. For real. He's training. Throw the damn
towel.
He said, throw the damn towel, man. I gotta get a better sample of that one, man, for real. But Usman beat the shit out of Covington. Racist getting what's coming to him. 2019, man. Real talk, man. That was beautiful. Here's another thing though. Another racist story. Sports related though. Did you hear about this shit with Lamar Jackson and the 49ers broadcaster being suspended?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So let me read this story here. This comes out of the San Francisco Chronicle. It says that the 49ers suspended broadcaster for saying that the Ravens QB Lamar Jackson had an advantage due to dark skin with a dark football. It says the San Francisco 49ers have suspended Tim Ryan, their radio color analyst, over comments he made on a Bay Area Sports Talk radio Monday, in which he said Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, who was black, is exceptional at faking handoffs because of his dark skin with the dark football. The comments came in the first couple minutes of Ryan's weekly segment with KNBR's Murph and Mac morning radio show as the host asked San Jose native about Jackson's stellar performance in Sunday's victory over the 49ers. Jackson, a frontrunner for the National Football League's most valuable player, rushed for more than 100 yards en route to a 20-17 win over the 49ers in a game between two of the league's top teams. Jackson gained most of his yards running his zone read type offense, where he frequently fakes a handoff to his running back before keeping the ball to run himself. He's really good at that fake, Lamar Jackson, but when you consider his dark skin with a dark football with a dark uniform, you could not see that thing. Ryan said on air. I mean, you literally could not see when he was in and out of the mesh point, and if you're half step slow on him in terms of your vision, forget about it, he's out the gate. Now, Jackson, like, kind of trolled this dude, like, a week later. Because he came out the next game and had on white gloves and white motherfucking sleeves and shit. But man, like, come on, man. You know you can't get on the radio saying this shit, man. And I know he at home like, man, but I really didn't mean anything. But like, here's the thing. I know he's at home like, I didn't mean shit by that, man. I'm just saying, like, yo, man, like, if you ain't paying attention, you might not see the ball. I'm just like, he kind of blend with the ball. That's all I'm saying. Like, but you can't say that shit, man. You can't say that shit. In today's climate, money, I was just on here celebrating the fact that this white man got his ass whooped for supporting Donald Trump, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be out here saying that shit, bro. It's 2019. You know this. You know this. He should know better, man. He should know better. He should know better.
Yeah, I saw that, man, and all I said was, I'm sure there was some phone calls being made live right after he said it.
Oh, man, can you imagine the niggas in San Francisco and Oakland that might have wanted to holler at old boy? No. The brothers. Can you imagine, like, because here's the thing about sports radio, right? Like, you have people on the sports radio, and they'll be sitting up on high, and they talking all this shit, but then the phone line's going to light up, and you're going to be on hold, but you know brothers going to be on hold. Like, I've called sports talk radio before. Been on hold an hour before I actually got on air, right?
An hour.
An hour. You hear the whole shit in your phone or whatever, the whole show is going on in your phone, but you forget sometimes, like, until they say your name, you know what I'm saying, that you actually on hold. It's like you still listening to the radio show. And so I can see, the minute he said that shit, them phone lines lighting up, and there's a whole bunch of brothers on there like, yo, what the fuck you say, nigga? I can see it, man. Oakland, San Francisco, that Bay Area, man, it's a whole lot of black folks over there. Even though you, like, liberal or not, you got black folks there, they're going to have a problem with that. You can't be out here saying that kind of shit on the radio, man. Not at all. He lucky to still have a job. They just suspended him. He lucky to still have a job considering the shit that he said, you know? So, yeah, man, that was something that was in some sports news, man. But we've been going on for a little while here, man. I think it's time for us to start winging it. Let me find that. Where is it? There we go.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
What you winging it on tonight here, bro?
I just gotta say, I love that clip, man. I just love that. Especially when I actually saw the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are so many haters in the world now that they're saying that the Patriots are cheating again. I'm just like, look, man, whatever, okay? I don't care how much an advantage you think you have over somebody. It's a level playing field. You know, everybody is cheating to a degree. It's old dudes out here juicing and taking all types of steroids and what have you. So, you know, within the past 3 days, about 20 text messages. Oh, man, we ain't going down, you know, of course, because they lost like the last, I think, three games, something like that. I'm like, whatever, man. You know, it don't bother me none. I'm still going to love me some Tom Brady. And I still got him in the AFC Championship game. I just do. Regardless of the fact that people think they cheating, regardless of the fact they losing, the Patriots are still going to prevail. The Bears aren't, neither the Lions. The Lions really suck.
Fuck
but
yeah.
But... But yeah, you know, people are all bent over, out of shape with this whole thing about whoever this dude was that was listening or whatever the case was with whoever they was playing. I'm just so over it right now. I'm like, listen, after this year, Tom Brady retires anyway. He's not going to play another year, so don't make no difference.
You sure about that? Tom Brady's going to retire after the season?
If he plays next year, I'm not going to consider it a full season. And if he does, it's going to be his last hurrah. Seriously.
All right, man. So. Well, my wing is something, like, I'm not going to be talking real long because it's only supposed to be 2 minutes anyway. But Army-Navy game has absolutely nothing to do with the game. There was a portion of the game where I believe, what's my man's name here? Let me pull this up. Because there was a broadcaster up, ESPN was doing the was covering the game. Reese Davis was actually up in the crowd doing a portion of the game, and some of the cadets were throwing the white power symbol up behind Reese Davis during this ESPN broadcast of the Army Navy game. What I'm really going to just say is, like, yo, as much as folks would like for people to keep the politics out of the sports, sometimes the politics imposes itself upon the sports depending on the circumstances. We saw that happen when Donald Trump inserted himself in the Colin Kaepernick discussion. We're seeing it now with cadets at the Army Academy throwing up the white power sign, not only behind the head of Reese Davis, but also behind the head of a young black cadet. Right now, a lot of white folks looked at that and said, "Well, no, that's not. Well, it has nothing to do with white power. Y'all making that up." And I mean, we could talk about how, you know, racist trolls co-opted that symbol to give them plausible deniability when it comes to what that symbol really means now. And you can say it meant something for like a silly ass game the young boys would play, but it can also mean something else. And to discount that and to try to gaslight people into believing that they're not seeing what they're really seeing when we know what we're seeing. Yo, man, I'm going to just tell y'all this. Y'all talk about the politics being out of the games and being out of the sports. Sports have always been political. They will continue to be political. And people use sports to present whatever messaging that they have, whatever point that they're trying to make. A lot of times they know that sports gets the audience, and that is the time for them to get that audience's attention to whatever it is that their grievance is. And when it comes to those cadets, yo, I kind of feel like the cadets should be like put out of the motherfucking academy. Real talk, because at this point in time, we can't continue to like play like this shit is just a game. We can't. We can't keep playing like that. And so, it's unfortunate, man. Like the Army Navy game, it's a rivalry game, man. People look forward to seeing that game, but to have it marred with like some stupid ass kids. I mean, because ultimately, like, we can still look at the fact that, like, yo, they 2021. You know, we did some dumb shit when we was 20 and 21. It's still kids, right? But you hate to see it. You hate to see it, and I hope we don't see it no more. Real talk. Hopefully this ain't the last motherfucking beer and chicken we do this year, man. We might push out one more. We might get y'all one more beer and chicken podcast this year.
Definitely. I'm on vacation until January 4th.
Well, you on vacation, nigga. I ain't right now. So so I won't be on vacation until the 23rd of December. But, that's been episode 60 of the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. We will talk to you guys again soon, man. We gonna do another one next week. I'll be on vacation then. Next week. Yeah, we're going to do one. All right? We'll talk to you guys again soon. Until next time, fam. Peace out.
All right, bro.